Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the hills of the Missouri Ozarks, welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament study for July 31st of 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome back. We've been gone for 2 weeks, and most of you probably didn't even notice.
Well, we noticed it left a void in the weekend, really.
It really did. We've had a couple of wonderful weekends, mm-hmm. but honestly, this is the highlight of my weekend each week. So,
yeah, it's surprising because when we started this out, just to thought, well, let's just see how this goes. But we're finding that we get so much out of this material, and we just pray that you're getting even a fraction of what we draw out of this every week. Because as we've said before, when you read the scriptures alone, and you're trying to keep to a schedule, there are times when, for whatever reason, you're distracted or tired, and you're just going through. I go through the motions sometimes.
So do I.
Yeah, and you find certain things that sections that you just kind of skip over because I know I've got to read 3 chapters today to stay on schedule, mm-hmm. and you can't really do that when you are reading it out loud. You have to put a little more into it, and that helps us to get more out of it. So, mm-hmm. again, we just pray that this is of some benefit to you. And if you want to be informed every time we upload a new study, which typically is Sunday, middle of the day, or thereabouts, there are places at the website gilberthouse.org where you can subscribe either to download the MP3 files automatically or just get an email alert every time that we upload a new study. And again, God willing, we're here doing a New Testament and Old Testament study every Sunday.
True. We did the New Testament study earlier today and took a break, went out, did a little yard work. Mm-hmm. So that took a couple of hours, and then we rested from that.
Recovered.
The older we get, the longer it takes to
recover from that. Let the naproxen enter the bloodstream and do its work.
So. And have lunch, because we were both hungry. So anyway, we're back now and ready to dig right in. Again, go to gilberthouse.org mm-hmm. to see what the schedule is and to listen to the archives.
Yeah. We'll open with a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you for preserving your word for us as we look at scripture today that dates back 3,000 years from our era. We pray as we read, Father, that you'll help us to read with a mindset, the worldview of those who lived during the period that these scriptures were written. And we know that's not an easy thing. Our world has changed so much just in the last 50 years, much less the last 3,000. But Father, we just pray that your Spirit would guide us, grant us wisdom and discernment as we seek to better understand your will and your word through these books that have been preserved through the generations. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, this one is cool because it starts off as a song of praise, but we only get 3 verses in before we hit the Divine Counsel reference week.
Ding, ding,
yes.
Ding.
Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
And there it is.
Yes. So that would be, Elohim. So, you know, when the Bible says gods, and I've gotten used to thinking of it in these terms, but there are still people who get really kind of uncomfortable, I mm-hmm. guess is the best word, when we start talking about the divine counsel, because God doesn't need a counsel. This is polytheism. This is creating a pantheon.
No, it isn't. We're talking about another realm where creatures who are beyond human,
right.
beyond mortal, exist. And the easiest way to refer to them is Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
There are different types of Elohim.
Right, right.
And and Elohim is a word that's often translated as God. So if it helps mm-hmm. you not to think of them as gods, even though that's what they proclaimed themselves to be.
And that's what God calls them in Psalm 82.
Exactly. Well, you say that you are gods.
Yes.
They claim that they are, you know, rulers over our earth. But
right.
then God permitted that because right. of mankind's sin.
Exactly.
So we are not saying that God is just one of many.
No. And he's not like a mayor presiding over a city council. God created these beings.
Exactly.
Just as he created humanity. And like humans, he created the Elohim with free will.
Mm-hmm.
And like humans, many of them have chosen to rebel.
Yeah, one-third of them.
At least a third. Yeah. And again, since God in Psalm 82 said, I said you are gods, sons of the Most High. Since God calls them gods, I don't have a problem using the term.
Me neither.
But if you prefer to think of them as fallen angels, that's
fine.
Yeah. Anyway, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. And again, this kind of reinforces what we're saying, because in the pantheons of the other ancient nations around Israel, you know, this God would be responsible for the sea, and this God is responsible for the rivers, and this God is responsible for the vegetation and agriculture and so forth. But the psalmist here is saying, no, all of this is Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yahweh did it all.
He spoke it all into being.
Exactly. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. Meribah, that was the waters of Meribah?
I think so. It's where they... And is that where Moses struck the rock?
Where the Israelites quarreled with Moses and tested Yahweh, Exodus 17, 1-7. Yes, that's where Moses struck the rock. Good memory.
Thanks, honey.
When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation. Ooh.
That's strong language.
Yeah, but, you know, they walked through the Red Sea, and within a matter of days, they were like, did we come out here because there were no graves in Egypt? Yes. Come on, God.
But even though he says he loathed that generation, for 40 years, they were fed, they had water, they were protected. Their shoes didn't even wear it.
Yes, that's a little detail that's kind of overlooked there, too. The miracle of the sandals that didn't wear out for 40 years. Oh, man. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Mm. Now we go to Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. These are descriptions that are often applied to other gods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
David is saying, nah.
Again,
Yahweh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fire goes before him. Sorry, this is not a chariot. This is not a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world.
Mm-hmm.
The earth sees and trembles.
This is imagery often applied to Baal, mm-hmm. Baal, because he was a storm god for the Canaanites. But
yep.
Again, David saying, no, it's Yahweh.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. You know, this has got to be prophetic, because at this point, all the peoples do not see his glory. The day is coming when all the peoples will.
Yes, that's true.
All worshippers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods.
Again, that's Elohim. Ding, ding, ding. Divine counsel.
Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. This is the final judgments at the end in the day of the Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
That's right. And again, David wouldn't be writing this, just as Moses wouldn't be writing in Exodus 12:12 about tonight, Yahweh telling Moses, tonight I will execute judgment on all the gods of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
God is not going to declare his superiority to lifeless blocks of wood and stone, just as David here is not saying you are exalted far above all gods. If they were imaginary beings, You know, as Mike Heiser says, you might as well say, well, God is superior to SpongeBob SquarePants. I mean, that's kind of what the desupernaturalized version, which is the consensus view of scripture amongst scholars.
I know. It's for those who are just now discovering this divine assembly truth, it does burn for a while.
Yeah, because we thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, right, that means no other gods are to be given priority above God. We are to, you know, we understand he is the one who spoke all of creation into existence, created all things seen and unseen, and yet, because of the Tower of Babel incident, the Deuteronomy 32, verse 8 and 9 worldview, where God divided the nations according to the number of the sons of God, created geographic and spiritual divisions between the peoples, and then assigned the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, as his agents, basically, but they rebelled.
They were stewards, but they called themselves God.
Right, and that's where we get the condemnation of the gods in Psalm 82.
Exactly.
So that's what this is all about.
Oh, verse 10. Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. This is all prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Light is sown for the righteous. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name.
Hmm. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. I'm almost certain that I've sung a hymn with this.
I'm sure you have.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Again, prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Millennial reign of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim.
Mm.
Let the earth quake.
And those are the cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm. And they also surround his actual throne.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting, but we just get little glimpses of this in Scripture. I've been reading about the throne room vision of Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, I believe, where he sees the seraphim.
Mm-hmm.
But the seraphim and the cherubim might be the same thing. We don't know, because the divine rebel in Eden, the serpent, is called the Nakash. But we see elsewhere in Numbers and Deuteronomy that Nakash and seraph, the root word of seraphim, are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. He is described as the cherub or the cherub that covers.
Exactly where I was going with that, Ezekiel 28. Mm-hmm. So the seraphim, cherubim could be the same thing. I don't know.
We'll find out one day.
Yes.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. This is all prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the prophecy? Sit here until I make
my enemies a footstool beneath your feet. Yes.
Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain.
That would be the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
For the Lord our God is holy.
Mm, amen. Well, now we get back into some of the history as we continue through our chronological reading order. 2 Samuel 24, and back to the life of David. David, of course, has survived two different rebellions against his reign so far, and he is back in Jerusalem. But things go sour. Verse 1, again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go, number Israel and Judah. And if I'm not mistaken, and we'll probably see this in the Chronicles that we're going to read here shortly, that I think the adversary, the Ha-Satan, or the Satan, in 1 Chronicles 21 is the one that incites. Well, we'll see that in a moment, but I believe that that's the case.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Skipping ahead. Go number Israel and Judah, verse 2. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and number the people, that I may know the number of the people. But Joab said to the king, may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? Joab at least was smart enough to know that this was not something God wanted him.
This isn't good.
Yeah. But the king's word prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer, and from that city that is in the middle of the valley, toward Gad, and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to Kadesh in the land of the Hittites, and they came to Dan, and from Dan they went around to Sidon, and came to the fortress of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. And they went out to the Negev of Judah at Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to the king. In Israel, there were 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus says the Lord, three things I offer you. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you. And the word offer could also mean hold over you. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when so we had 1.3 million, so 70,000 was about 5% of the people. If my rough number is correct, roughly. And when the Lord, when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who was working destruction among the people, it is enough. Now stay your hand. And the angel of the Lord, which is a Christophany, this is Yahweh, but not Yahweh, the second power in heaven. This is Jesus. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, behold, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up at Gad's word as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord that the plague may be averted from the people. Then Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to Araunah, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. And that now is the place where Solomon eventually builds the temple.
Yeah, we're going to get another version of this story. Yeah. 1 Chronicles 21. Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel.
And interestingly, because the verse in 2 Samuel is that the Lord's anger was kindled.
So he allowed Satan to do it.
Exactly right. That is exactly right.
So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring me a report that I may know their number. But Joab said, may the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. Are they not, my lord the king, all of them my lord's servants? Why then should my lord require this? Why should it be a cause of guilt for Israel? But the king's word prevailed against Joab. So Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came back to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to David. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and in Judah, 470,000 who drew the sword. Slightly different numbers than we got in 2 Samuel.
Right.
Drawing the sword may have different meaning to the different writers. But he did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering, for the king's command was abhorrent to Joab.
Hmm. Interesting they left out Benjamin in that, because Benjamin was the tribe of Saul.
Yeah.
And of course, Levi was the priest, so yeah.
But God was displeased with this thing, and he struck Israel.
Now, this is something that we don't really understand. It's not clear why this census was... why God found this objectionable. I mean, it may be that David was getting filled up with pride. Maybe numbering the army was prelude to David going out and conquering lands that God did not want to apportion to Israel. I don't know.
I should probably look this up. It's because there's something about taking a census that... let me see if I can find it here.
Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, I think.
Yeah. Exodus 12. When you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Mm. Then no plague will come on them when you number them.
Ah, okay. So it's possible that the way David conducted the census did not include that ransom.
Possibly.
The half shekel ransom. So, But for whatever reason, it was objectionable. God found it abhorrent, or was displeased anyway. Joab was abhorred.
Sam? Sam making noises out there?
No, I think that's Debbie.
Oh, well, no, it could be Sam. let's see, what verse did I leave off with?
Verse 8.
I'll do 7. But God was displeased with this thing, and he struck Israel. And David said to God, I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. You caught me. I really feel sick about this now. But now, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. And the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus says the Lord, 3 things I offer you. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose what you will, either 3 years of famine or 3 months of devastation by your foes, while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, pestilence on the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. but do not let me fall into the hand of man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me option two. I don't want that one. Either do option one or three. And Lord, you get to decide which one.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent the angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw, and he relented from the calamity. And he said to the angel who was working destruction, "It is enough. Now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord, again, this is Christ, was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan, the mm-hmm. Jebusite.
That's a different spelling of yeah. Orana. Yeah.
Not Sharona, though.
No.
No. And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who gave command to number the people? It is I who..." Now he says, now, okay, take it out on me.
Mm-hmm.
"It is I who have sinned and done great evil. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand, O Lord my God, be against me and against my father's house, but do not let the plague be on your people." Now the angel of the Lord had commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at Gad's word, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. He turned and saw the angel. They're all seeing the angel.
Yeah.
And his four sons apparently saw. They hid themselves. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out from the threshing floor and paid homage to David with his face to the ground. And David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of the threshing floor that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. Give it to me at full price that the plague may be averted from the people." Thus Ornan said to David, "Take it, please, I don't want this."
Yeah, yeah.
"And let my lord the king do what seems good to him. See, I have given the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for a grain offering. I give it all." But King David said to Ornan, "No, but I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David paid Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. Didn't we see 50 in 2 Samuel?
Yeah, in Samuel. Yeah, 50 shekels of silver.
Yeah, so maybe it was both.
Well, it could be. Now, shekel is about 2/5 of an ounce, so I'm just kind of curious as to what...
And David built there an altar to the Lord and presented burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven upon the altar of burnt offering.
Hmm.
They put everything... It's like Elijah does, you know, later on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's out there. We're just going to wait for you to, you know, send down fire from heaven.
Yeah, boom.
Then the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering were at that time in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Interesting.
Yeah.
So did you figure out how much that would be worth today?
Well, it's 15 pounds of gold, and with the current 1 ounce gold price of about $1,323 per ounce.
It's a lot of money.
15 times, 16 times, it's about $317,500.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, what's the price of a threshing floor between you and me? 70,000 people have already died. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, hurry up and pay.
Just get the angel of the Lord out of here. He's scaring me.
Exactly. That's probably why Ornan Arana said, "Here, just take it." First Chronicles 22. Then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offering for Israel. David commanded to gather together the resident aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters to prepare dressed stones for building the house of God.
I'm not saying it's aliens.
The stone cutters.
Yes,
We do. to prepare dressed stones for building the house of God. David also provided great quantities of iron for nails for the doors of the gates and for clamps, as well as bronze in quantities beyond weighing, and cedar timbers without number. For the Sidonians and the Tyrians brought great quantities of cedar to David. Lebanon, famed for its cedar trees. For David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all lands. I will therefore make preparation for it. So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord, my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish my royal throne in Israel forever.
I will establish his royal throne.
Oh, his royal throne. That's right. You're right. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Yeah, mostly, except for, you know, building all the high places for the foreign wives.
Yeah.
Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, do not be dismayed. With great pains, I have provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
Yeah, because a talent
is about 100 pounds.
About 75 pounds, yeah. So we're talking 7.5 million pounds of gold.
And a million talents of silver.
Yeah. That's a lot. Anyway, bronze and iron beyond weighing, for there is so much of it. Timber and stone, too, I have provided. To these you must add. You have an abundance of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Arise and work. The Lord be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord.
And we will end with Psalm 30, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. This is probably poetic, but also it could be prophetic.
Yeah, and it also indicates that there was an understanding in Old Testament times that because their understanding of the afterlife and the concept of hell evolved as God revealed things to the prophets throughout the Old Testament. But there was clearly an understanding that God had the capability to restore people to life from those who had gone down to Sheol.
Verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. Mm-hmm. You hid my face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That, we'll get to hear David sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Won't that be cool?
That will. And the other musicians that were allocated to the... Yeah, that's going to be pretty amazing.
Maybe he'll be in a barbershop quartet with you.
Well, I won't bank on that. But if that's not there, it's only because there's something else even better.
That's what I think, too.
I think that verse 9 is really interesting. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit, saying to God, you know, look, if I'm dead and gone forever, I'll be unable to praise you. Mm-hmm. So if you restore me, that would be better, because then I can continue to praise you. And ultimately, that is what our destiny is. We are to be restored and into his presence. And then, you know, we kind of see that picture in that when the elders of Israel are told to accompany Moses and Aaron up on Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And they go up there and they see God and actually have a meal with him. Which is, a picture of the restoration of humanity to the presence of God. First time since Eden, you know, it happened on Mount Sinai. It won't happen again until Christ returns. But boy, look forward to that.
I don't think it's very far away.
Well, it certainly seems that way as we look around at the world. The world has gone mad.
It has. Well, you have, we've ended our fellowship, the study for this morning, but are you going to be posting a VFDB tonight, or are you doing it on Wednesdays?
Well, not tonight, just because I haven't gotten a new one recorded yet, but the Wednesday night VFDBs for the next 3 months will be interviews recorded at the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference.
Oh, good.
So the Wednesday night interviews, and there'll be two per, because I tried to make them a little more concise this time, so they all were running at about 15 minutes, 20, I think, at the outside. So I'll be putting two of them together in each week. This past Wednesday, the two that I thought were the most time-sensitive, which was Bill Salas and Bill Koenig, talking about geopolitics and prophecy.
And were they talking about Turkey? Because that was taking place as we were having the conference.
Well, we talked a bit about that with Bill and also with Joel Richardson, who is coming up on the schedule. But that was part of the conversation.
And that story from Turkey isn't going away. It's continuing to have repercussions. Erdogan's government is cracking down on people that are perceived to have been part of the coup attempt. And today in Germany, there were thousands and thousands of people, about 50,000 people in the streets in Cologne, Germany, that were supporting Erdogan.
Yeah.
Erdogan wants to bring back the Ottoman Empire.
He really does. And he's really taken advantage of the failed coup, which
we'll
is
put
just
that in
so,
air quotes.
Yeah, it was just so weird the way that happened. It looked really like they weren't really trying very hard.
No. You guys are supposed to be the military. You're really bad. If this is an indication of Turkey's military might.
Well, Erdogan has been cleaning house amongst potential enemies within the military for some time now, because the military has acted as a check on political, especially Islamist politicians, you know, for years. And there have been a number of coups, I think maybe three since 1990, three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And always it was to bring the civil government back from a real Islamist direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Erdogan he's shrewd. He knows what he's facing here, and he knows that the military posed a real obstacle. So he'd been cleaning house of top generals for a long time and trying to advance guys with a more Islamist view.
He was also taking military members and essentially making them his own private police force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we shall see what happens. But yeah, it looked as though, while we were there at the conference, because this was happening while we were there, that it might succeed. But of course, we were getting information very, you know, drips and drafts.
It was very sketchy. Yeah. So,
but obviously, he's popular enough among the people, apparently, that his call for people to take to the streets was enough to intimidate the military into standing down, because the military realized they were going to just have to slaughter a lot of people in order to accomplish what they wanted. And but since that happened just a couple of weeks ago, over 70,000 people have been arrested, suspended, or are under investigation in the military, the judiciary, and the police forces around the country. So
keep your eyes on Turkey, because again, the churches in the Book of Revelation are all in Turkey.
Yep. Well, the Lipkins will be the interviews this coming Wednesday, August 3rd. Aaron Lipkin and Avi Lipkin.
They are both wonderful. Yeah. Such gentlemen.
Aaron is, of course, Avi's son, and this was his first conference to give a presentation. And he's put together a couple of DVDs that we need to watch on how he's using archaeological evidence and drones, drone-mounted cameras to find out bits of history, of Israel's history, that archaeologists have not yet discovered.
And he's located some formations that it's so cool the Lord is doing. Oh. And I don't want to, you know, no spoilers here.
You'll the giant footprints.
Oh, you gave it away.
Well, yeah, I just want to throw that tease out there, you know, because it's not what it sounds like, but it's kind of what it sounds like. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, Avi was really He was fun to watch, because he was very proud of Aaron.
He was.
And when I was setting up the schedule for the interviews, I was looking at times where I could fit them, because, you know, Avi and Aaron both are observant Jews, and they come to the conference on Friday, but they can only do stuff until sundown, because then it's the Sabbath and they don't work. So their presentations were slotted into Friday relatively early and then Sunday. And so I was trying to fit them in, and I had Avi scheduled during Aaron's talk, and he says, no, I can't do that. I have to be there. Okay. All right. Tell you what, we'll do both of your interviews before lunch, the official opening of the conference, so that we can get those out of the way. And Avi appreciated that, but they both invited us to come over there to Israel at some point.
I know. We had the best time talking with both of them. I got to meet Avi's wife.
Yes. Yes.
She's beautiful.
Yes, she is. You can see why he's like me, married up. So anyway, that's the schedule. And I'm going to try to update the calendar at vftb.net. So you'll see the upcoming schedule. But this will run through mid-October. And we'll conclude with the interviews with Stan Deo and L.A. Marzulli in October. And by about that time, the DVD set, which will include all of the video versions of these interviews, will be available from Skywatch TV and also Prophecy Watchers.
And all of the presentations.
And all of the presentations, yeah.
So, yes.
Well, not just the ones that were streamed, all of the presentations.
That's right, all of them.
So,
awesome.
The streaming package included 41 presentations, but the DVD set will include 70 presentations plus.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I got to count the interviews here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 25 interviews.
Woo.
So.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, just my evil plan to make sure I get more FaceTime on the DVDs than anyone else.
Well done, honey.
Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word, which guides us and instructs us. And Lord, we see, as we look through your word with fresh eyes, how the spiritual war that has raged since the garden is continued all through the biblical era, and even continues to this day. We may not know the names of the specific entities that aligned against us, and even if they did reveal their names, they'd probably be lying anyway. But what matters is that you who are with us and in us, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world, the enemy that seeks to destroy us and do us and bring us to the second death, the lake of fire. Lord, we pray that you will grant us wisdom and discernment as we seek to understand your word, that we'd rightly understand your will for us. Father, we pray for those in need, pray for those who are ministering and preaching the gospel in areas, places in this world where it's dangerous to do so. We pray for those who are in need of just comfort, Lord, physical and emotional and spiritual comfort, financial support, Lord. We just pray that you would pour out your blessings. Father, we thank you for your word again and for your just unlimited love for us and your sacrifice that you committed for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with